Let's read and hear the Word of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. The text that we consider is verses 4 through 11, and I will not reread those verses, so pay special attention to verses 4 through 11. We will read the whole of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And the apostle is going to go on to explain the way of love in chapter 13. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we consider verses 4 through 11 tonight as the text. And it's important to know that in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is beginning to give instruction to the Corinthian congregation about the Church of Jesus Christ. That instruction is going to go on for two more chapters, in chapters 13 and 14. And the Apostle is giving instruction about the Church of Jesus Christ, that the Church is the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And that applies, of course, to the universal church. But there's something very intimate and warm about the apostle speaking about the church as the spiritual body of Christ to the Corinthian congregation. He is saying to them in this chapter, you as a congregation, that applies now to you and me tonight as the faith congregation, you are the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. In verse 12, the apostle makes plain that he's speaking about the church as the body of Christ. In verses 1 through 11, at the very beginning of the apostle and his instruction here on the church as the spiritual body of Christ, he speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit. In verses 1 through 3, he indicates that he is answering a question that arose from the Corinthian congregation concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. This was a congregation that liked to talk about and emphasize the work and activity of the Holy Spirit. But the apostle is saying there are things that you don't understand. You need to understand things concerning spiritual gifts. You need to understand what the main gift of the Holy Spirit is. And in verses 1 through 3, he says, this is the main gift. This is the main mark of the presence of the Spirit in a congregation and in an individual believer. You confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I said it this morning. I'm going to say it again a few more times tonight. The mark of the Holy Spirit and His presence in the church is not the extraordinary gifts of prophecy and healing, and so on. But here is the mark of the Holy Spirit's presence, that Jesus Christ is confessed as Lord in this congregation. But now in verses 4 through 11, which we consider tonight, the Apostle Paul is speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit in connection with the distribution of spiritual gifts. And the Apostle is emphasizing that all of the gifts, the abilities found in the church, come from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That stands to reason, because behind our receiving gifts from the Spirit is the Spirit's work of gathering us together as a church. The truth about the Holy Spirit's work in the church is that the Spirit is the one who builds the church of Jesus Christ. The church isn't built by men. The church doesn't belong to men. The church is built by the Spirit of God that sends forth the Word and the power of God's grace to gather the members of the church together, uniting them to Christ and to one another in the body of the church. And now that same Spirit is the one who gives spiritual powers and abilities to the members of the church. And so the apostle is answering some important questions about spiritual gifts. Why do the members of the church, and they do, every one of the members of the church have spiritual gifts. Why do they have them? And don't think that that's an unimportant question. The Corinthians needed to be reminded of this. You have them because they come from the Spirit of God. What are the gifts of the Spirit? We saw this morning that that is an important question, because it is easy, and this was found in the Corinthian congregation, to emphasize the wrong gifts of the Spirit. Not that those are not gifts of the Spirit. They are gifts of the Spirit, but we must emphasize the right gifts of the Spirit, understanding what the important gifts are in the church tonight. But then what is the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit? And here is where I believe the Apostle Paul was laying his finger on the most serious weakness in the Corinthian congregation. They put the emphasis on the wrong gifts. That was a serious weakness. But when they did that, they said, what's really important is to be able to speak in tongues and interpret tongues, to be able to prophesy and to be able to interpret prophecies, to be able to do miracles of healing and other miracles. Then the Corinthians looked around in the congregation and said, not everyone has that gift. And those who had those gifts could say, or were saying, this makes us super gifted, super saints. They puffed themselves up in pride and they put other members of the congregation down as they elevated themselves. They viewed the gifts as having this purpose. When we observe the different gifts in the church, the differences among the members in the church, the purpose is so that we can rank others in the church and hopefully rank ourselves higher than others. The Apostle Paul is teaching us here in this text that is completely wrong. We are gifted by the Spirit of Jesus Christ to serve. Let's notice that tonight, beloved, to serve and glorify God and to serve the other members in the church. This is the communion of the saints. This is what we're called unto tonight as we continue to celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. Let's consider tonight then spiritual gifts. First of all, the diverse gifts. Secondly, the divine source of those gifts. And then thirdly, the common benefit. The gifts of the Spirit are spoken of here by the Apostle Paul in verse 4 right away. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Apostle then is speaking of gifts given by the Spirit. He says later, they are divided severally as He wills. These are therefore gifts from the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. And these are the talents, the spiritual talents, the spiritual abilities, powers, given to the members of the church to equip them for service in the church and to do work in the church. Today we celebrate Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit of Jesus Christ upon the members of the church. We saw this morning that that is a baptism with the Spirit. Well, tonight, think of not water and baptism, but think of oil and anointing. This outpouring of the Spirit, this giving of to us of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is our anointing, which explains why we are Christians. And remember now, that we are Christians means that we are anointed ones. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and ascended into heaven and was given the Holy Spirit, pours out His Spirit to make us partakers of His anointing, so that the Spirit that dwells in Him, so that we can call Him Christ, the Anointed One, dwells in you and me, so that we are Christians, anointed ones. Now that anointing qualifies us to be Christians. That anointing is what puts us in office, the office of Christian, or the office of believer. You and I are not by nature members of the body of Jesus Christ. You and I are not by nature united to Christ as our head. And you and I by nature then do not have the right to serve in the church as the members of Jesus Christ. Jesus baptizes us in the Spirit or anoints us with the Spirit to authorize us, to qualify you and me to be partakers of Him and His work, to work on behalf of His kingdom. That anointing also equips us as members of the church for work in the church. And this is what we need to see tonight. The Holy Spirit is given to us to give us the right to serve Jesus Christ, but to equip us so that we're able to serve Jesus Christ. He takes the talents, the abilities, the powers that we need and gives them to us so that we may serve Jesus Christ in His kingdom. The apostle uses three words to speak of those talents or abilities in the text. First of all, in verse 4, call your attention to that verse again. He speaks of gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That word, gifts, in, if we were to put it in English, would be charisma. It's the Greek word, charismata, from which we get the English word charismatic. We are the charismatic people of God. What that refers to is a gift of grace that is given to us by God. And that isn't referring now to the extraordinary apostolic gifts that were part of the early New Testament church, but this is a word that describes all of the spiritual gifts that God gives to us as His people. They are gracious gifts given to us. These are not natural gifts. God does give to men, women, and children natural gifts. We can see the abilities and the talents in the people in the world round about us. Some have great intellectual gifts. Some have great gifts for speaking. Some have great gifts for writing. Some have great gifts for mathematics or for science. And probably too often we take note of the great gifts that they have for athletic competition and feats. We too have natural gifts. But to be graciously gifted by the Holy Spirit, generally speaking, means that we have the ability to use all of the gifts and the powers God has given to us to serve Jesus Christ. And that means that if you are a Spirit-filled believer, a Christian anointed with the Spirit of Christ, you have a better gift than all of the gifts that you observe in the people of the world. Don't be discouraged. It's easy to be discouraged, isn't it? When you observe the gifts of the people of the world and think, my gifts do not measure up to those gifts. Oh, I wish that I had the gift of writing that some great writer has in the world. I wish I had the gift of speaking that some great speaker has in the world, or the gift to play some sport that a pro athlete has in the world. And you can look at perhaps any other gift that is attractive to you. People of God, the Apostle Paul says to you as members of this congregation, this is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. Whether your gifts and talents are great or you think they're not so great, that you are equipped by the Spirit to use them to serve and to please Jesus Christ. Verse 5 speaks of differences of administrations. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That word literally means ministries or services. It's the word that is sometimes used to refer to the deacons in the church. The deacons are equipped by the Spirit of God to serve in the church, to serve others in their needs, especially the poor people, the widows, to serve them in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual gift. But now the point is, that includes the entire congregation. We know that in the giving that we do for the Benevolent Fund. We are showing mercy, serving those who are poor in our giving. And this refers broadly to all of the opportunities in the church that we have to minister, to help others in need. That is a spiritual gift from God. And although I'm not going to comment further on that till the third point, we already see the purpose now of these gifts to serve others in the congregation. And then thirdly and finally, in verse 6, the apostle says that there are differences of operation. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. Here the word refers to work, to the activity of work, the energy to do work in the church spiritually. The Holy Spirit not only gives us the position and the right to be able to work in the church, but once you're placed in Jesus Christ and in His church, all the power, all the ability to be able to do anything spiritually in the church comes from God through His Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to emphasize here is the Spirit who puts you into Jesus Christ and who gives you life as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, calls you to be active, to be involved in the life of Jesus Christ. There is, when one is put in the body of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, no such thing as a dead or inactive member of Christ's church. If you examine yourself tonight in the light of this text and you are not active, then you need to hear the word of the Apostle Paul admonishing you. There is the operations of the Spirit given to every member of the church so that every member of the church is living and called to be a part of the life and the work of the church. The gift of the Spirit is a gracious gift, a wonderful gift, a gift to serve, a gift to be active in the life of the church. But now, what are some of these gifts or these talents that you ask? And you perhaps ask that especially in the light of verses 8 through 10, where there are 9 things listed, and you wonder about some of these gifts, and you say, I don't have some of these gifts, I can't have some of these gifts. Does that mean I'm not gifted with the Spirit? Just briefly, I'll run through them. The apostle speaks of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. Now we can say of the Corinthian congregation, all of those gifts were present in the congregation. But you need to understand the apostle is not saying, now this is not an exhaustive list. He's not saying this is an exhaustive list. This is all of the gifts of the Spirit. Nor is he saying this is an authoritative list in the sense that if you claim to have the gift of the Spirit, you have to have these gifts. You notice at the end of the chapter when the apostle is asking questions in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, and so on, the implied answer is no. And even in the Corinthian congregation, there were some who couldn't speak in tongues, some who couldn't heal others, some who couldn't prophesy, and those members were not to say, that means I'm not gifted with the Spirit. That's the word of God to you and me tonight too. Don't listen to the charismatics who will insist that in order to be gifted with the Spirit, you have to have these extraordinary apostolic gifts. These gifts aren't present. They don't need to be present. Yet we are gifted by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let me say here just briefly, and I say briefly because this isn't the focus of the text, but let me say here that those apostolic gifts were needed then because when we think of the building of the church, which building is done by the Holy Spirit through the church, we may think of 2 building phases. There's the laying of the foundation of the New Testament church. That belonged to the work of the apostolic era. And then there's the building of the walls of the church, the gathering of the members on that foundation of the apostles. That's the work we do now in the Church of Jesus Christ. And the point is that during the apostolic era, there were those gifts that we may call apostolic gifts, because those were gifts that belonged to their era in the New Testament church. They had to go out, lay the foundation. They had to go out to the Gentiles, preaching the word of Jesus Christ, establishing the truth of the gospel, and they were able to do miracles. And they had extraordinary gifts to be able to confirm the gospel, to lay the foundation. But that work is finished. There's only one foundation that is laid. It doesn't need to be relaid. We may not lay another foundation. Our work now is to build on that foundation, and we don't need those apostolic, extraordinary gifts. No, for the work that we are called to do, the Spirit equips us with other important gifts that we still have to serve the church. Now we, like the Apostle Paul, cannot be exhaustive tonight. But let's ask the question just briefly, what gifts do we have as a congregation from the Spirit? The Apostle speaks of the gift of teaching in the context. And we think of the minister. The minister's ability to preach the word in the worship service, to teach catechism, to teach members of the congregation individually from time to time. That's a gift of the Spirit, the ability to proclaim the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we see this gift in the men of the congregation who are heads of their homes and mothers in the home who are able to teach their children. We see this in other members of the congregation who are able to speak the word of God to the comfort, to the encouragement of other members of the church, and even to their neighbors who may be unbelieving. If you are able to confess the truth of God and to teach, you're gifted mightily by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's the gift of ruling on behalf of Jesus Christ. And there we think of the office of the elders, the ability to rule in wisdom over the church. But we think of the parents too. We think of teachers and their spiritual ability to rule. And as I said this morning, we all have the ability to rule over ourselves by the power of the Spirit, fighting sin and living in obedience to God. There is that gift of mercy seen in the office of deacon, but also in the rest of the congregation, and seeking out ways to help others in the name of Jesus Christ. There's the gift of faith, the ability to confess faith with boldness, the courage to speak about our faith, even to those who oppose us as unbelievers. There's the gift of hospitality. That's a great spiritual gift in the church, to be able to open yourself up to others, to open your home up to others, to show them friendliness and love in the name of Jesus Christ. Beloved, let's exercise that gift when Seminarian Wee and his family join us for the 6-month internship. But not now just for them, but let's look in the congregation and see those who have a need of a friend. And recognize that that's a wonderful opportunity and gift to be able to befriend others in Jesus Christ. And there's the gift of musical ability too. I made reference this morning to Ephesians 5 verse 18 where the apostle says, be filled with the Spirit. And it's interesting that the very first thing he says that you ought to do as one filled with the Spirit is sing spiritual songs, hymns, psalms, and make a melody in your heart. The ability to teach, the ability to confess your faith, but the ability to sing praise to God and for the edification of others in the church. You're aware of that, are you not, beloved? Yes, we are mainly singing to God, but when you are singing the songs of praise, you're also singing to teach, to encourage, to comfort the other members of the congregation. That is a gift of the Spirit. Now these gifts, When we look at them in the congregation, we see differences, diversity. The apostle mentions that right away in verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then he speaks of differences in verse 5 and of diversities again in verse 6. And in verses 8 through 10, he's very clear. One gift may be given to one man, and another gift given to another man, but they don't necessarily both have the same gift. Not everyone in faith congregation will be the same. And let's not expect everyone in this congregation to be exactly the same. Are you not thankful for that when you think about that? When you look at someone in the congregation, you see their gifts and maybe think you don't measure up. That's not a reason to be discouraged. God does not expect me to have the same ability to teach and to write as the Apostle Paul. God does not expect me to have the same energy that He had. God gives me the gifts and the energy that He wants me to use for His sake. Some seem to have great gifts. Some seem to have unending energy. Some seem to have lesser gifts, lesser energy. When we see that in the church, we need to say, this is good. We need to encourage, to embrace, to appreciate the differences we see among the members of the church. Now, it is true that the apostle here in the text is saying that there are some things about which there may be no diversity. There must be unity. He speaks of the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. And he is saying that you all have the same Holy Spirit. And when he says you have the same Lord, he's saying you have the same Savior Jesus Christ, because you go back to verse 3, and there he speaks of the Lord and says, by the Spirit you confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the same God, the Father, the first person of the Trinity. When it comes to which God we have, which Savior we have, which Lord we have, which standard for the truth we use, there may be no diversity in the church. You can't have one man saying in the church, I'm going to go to the Bible for the standard of truth, and another say, I'm going to go somewhere else for the standard of the truth. We are to be united in the one doctrine of the apostolic teaching in the Scriptures. But when it comes to gifts, talents, abilities in the church, there will be differences. There must be differences. And we must appreciate that and embrace the diversity of the body of Jesus Christ, because the source of those differences, there's one source of all of our gifts. That's the source of those differences: God, the Holy Spirit, Himself. Now, I've already indicated that, but it's worth highlighting that. These gifts come from God, the Holy Spirit, but they come, as the Apostle teaches here, from the triune God. He speaks of the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God, the Father. And here again we see that the Apostle is emphasizing the unity of the work of the Spirit with God the Son and God the Father. The Apostle is condemning any teaching or any speaking about the Holy Spirit that speaks as if the Holy Spirit has His own work and His own purposes in isolation from God the Father and God the Son. The work of the Spirit is to teach about Jesus Christ. The work of the Spirit is to fill us with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The work of the Spirit is to build the church of Jesus Christ. and to lead the members of the church to serve Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. But when we look at this truth that the apostle wants you and me to hear tonight, your gifts come from the Holy Spirit. This is his answer to pride. Beloved, when the Corinthians looked at the differences they saw among the members of the church, they weren't spiritual. They didn't think spiritually. They thought carnally. Yes, they liked to talk about the work of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. They liked to emphasize the excessive things they did through the power of the Spirit. The Spirit works in me and I can speak in tongues or I can interpret tongues. You can't. The Spirit works in me and I can prophesy. You can't. The Spirit works in me and I have great understanding that is greater than yours. And so they beat their chests. They puffed themselves up. They gave themselves credit. And were speaking and behaving. If they didn't speak this way, they were behaving this way. I'm more gifted than you. And I'm therefore more important than you. The apostle's instruction is intended to get rid of that pride. And here's how he gets rid of it. He says, remember, whatever powers and abilities you have spiritually, they don't come from you. You didn't get them by your own natural ability. You didn't obtain these things for yourselves. This all came from God, the Holy Spirit. If you have a gift, beloved, you do. You have more than one gift. Then that came graciously and freely from God. All glory to God. You didn't earn it. You did not obtain it. That gift was given to you for one reason. God is gracious to you in Jesus Christ. We think here of what the apostle said earlier in chapter 4, verse 7, where he asked the question to these Corinthians who did have that tendency to puff themselves up, to take credit for all of their gifts and everything that was good in their lives. The apostle says, I have this question for you. What do you have that was not given to you? And the apostle's answer is, that he assumes and that the congregation is to give to is nothing. I don't have anything that God didn't give to me. God is sovereign in giving gifts to each person in the church and giving to each person in the church their particular place. This is what the apostle is teaching in verse 11. But all these worketh, that is all these gifts, worketh or gives, that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally or individually as he will. Do you see some gifts in yourself that you believe do outstrip other members of the congregation? Maybe you look at your intellect and your ability to understand Scripture, and it is a great ability. Maybe you look at your musical ability, your ability to sing or to play instruments, and you know there are other members of the congregation who don't have any ability like you. Maybe you look at the gift that you have for friendliness and for hospitality. The apostle says to you tonight, don't puff yourself up as if that's your own ability. Be humble. That was given to you by God. But this must be remembered too when we are tempted in discontentment to be dissatisfied in the church. I look at the place that I have and I look at the place that others have and I'm not very happy. I look at the talent that others have and I'm jealous of what they can do in the church. Then you have to also remember you are in the place and you have the gifts that God wants you to have in the church. And then you need to learn the lesson that Peter learned at the end of the book of John from Jesus Christ. You think of you. And you don't look at, don't worry, don't be concerned about all of them. You may recall that Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. And three times Jesus said to Peter, "Now this is what I want you to do. I'm gifting you to do this. I'm equipping you to do this. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." And then Peter has the audacity to look at John next to him and say, "Well, what about him, Lord?" And Jesus said to him, "Now, Peter, I have a work for him. I have a place for him. I have talents and abilities that I'm going to give to him too. But you're not to worry about that. You're not to compare your place in the church to him. You're not to compare your gifts to his gifts. You're not to ask, does he have a better place? Does he have more prominent gifts? Does he have greater abilities than me?" Peter, and now, people of God, this is the word of Jesus Christ to you. You have the place and the gifts in the church that Jesus wants you to have, and that's all that matters. So that the question for you is, what gifts do I have? And now, prayerfully and spiritually, ask that question. And do not give the answer, "I have none." If you have been anointed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you have spiritual gifts. And do not make this mistake either. "Well, I see that I have some gifts, but that's a gift I don't have." And then decide that there's something in the church that you don't have to do because you've determined you don't have the gift. No, don't only ask the question, "What gifts do I have?" But ask the question, "What place has the Lord given me in His church? And what work is He calling me to do?" And if you don't think you have the gift, but God has given you an opportunity to do something in the church, then it may be that you need to develop that gift, pray for that gift, work on that gift. We must remember that if the Spirit calls you to a task, then He promises to equip you, to gift you. Isn't that what reassures elders and deacons? No man goes into the office of elder and deacon saying, "I have the gift, I have the ability of myself to do this." But he says, "God who calls will equip me." Isn't that also the confidence of fathers and mothers in Christian homes? No man goes into marriage and no woman goes into marriage thinking, "If the Lord gives me children, I'll be able to handle it." But they go in thinking, "The Lord who calls me, He will equip me." Beloved, that's the way to live in the congregation. Look at the gifts that God has given you, and employ them to the best of your ability. And then don't be content if you see a weakness or lack of a gift, but pray to God and spiritually seek to grow in that area of your Christian life. Ask yourself, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" It equip me then, and then pray, "Equip me to do it." And the goal and the purpose of all of the spiritual abilities that God has given us, I know it's obvious by now, is to serve the church, the other members, to seek the common benefit of the whole. That comes out in verse 7, where the apostle says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." There are a diversity of gifts. There are some who may have more gifts than others. There are some who may have the same gift, but it's obvious one has more of that gift than another. But despite all of those differences, there's one purpose. Not to serve me, but to serve the church of Jesus Christ. To profit with all, everyone in the church. And here we look ahead to verses 12 and following in the figure of the body just briefly, where the Apostle Paul speaks of a diversity of members in the body. And when you look at the different members of the body, you see a diversity of gifts. The hand can do things that no other part of the body can do. And that's true of the eye, of the ear, of the feet. But now the hand doesn't have the ability to do what the eye can't do for itself. The hand has that ability to serve the whole body. And the eye doesn't have the ability to see just to serve itself, but the eye sees to serve the whole body. And the feet could make this very plain. The feet have the ability to walk. But what if the feet tried to walk without the help of the eye and the function and the power of the eye? The feet won't be able to get anywhere, but will stumble around. Beloved, that's the way it is in the church. God hasn't given you your place and your abilities to serve you, but to serve the body and to fulfill the needs of the other members of the body. Think about that. If the eye has a mote in it or a sliver, the eye is helpless to do anything about it, isn't it? But God has given your body a hand to remove that mote. Well, that's the way it is with you and the gifts that God has given to you. God has placed you in this body because there is some need that this body has of you and of your gifts. So, beloved, your gifts are to complement each other. Your gifts are to be used to help each other. And your gifts, this is very blunt, but it's true, are useless if you use them for yourself and not for the body. Isn't that true of your hand? What if your hand begins to shake and to act independently of your body? You're going to go see the doctor, aren't you? You're going to say, "This hand is useless for my body. I need to do something about this." That's true of the members of the church who do not work with and in the body. They're sick, spiritually sick, and a remedy is needed. And the remedy is this: by the grace of God, serve the church. Your gifts are needed. You are placed by God in this church to do something that no one else can do. You believe in the wisdom of God, do you not? You believe that God doesn't make any mistakes. Well, that applies also to your place and your gifts in the church. God didn't make any mistake putting you where you are and giving you the abilities that you have. God put you here and said, "Now, I need you to perform a function as a man, a woman, even a young person that no one else in this body can perform." That's all to say, use your gifts to build up and to serve the church, and then you will bring glory to the name of God. Beloved, that was missing in the church at Corinth. This was the greatest tragedy in the church at Corinth. God's name was not glorified in the church. when the members of the church looked at their gifts as reason to build themselves up in pride, when they used their gifts to cause division and strife in the congregation, Jesus Christ wasn't honored. The Holy Spirit wasn't honored. God the Father wasn't honored in the church of Jesus Christ. And not only was God not honored in the church, you could even say outside of the church too. God wasn't honored. People weren't looking at the Corinthian congregation saying, there's the healthy body of Jesus Christ where all the members are one with each other and love each other. There were sins not named even among the people of the world in this proud, divided congregation, so that even unbelievers would look in this church and say, there's a sick body, disease. God's name is glorified when we use the gifts that He has given us to seek peace, unity, and the welfare of the body of Jesus Christ. Isn't it enough to make you want to walk in the Spirit, and to use your gifts to glorify God and for the benefit of the church, to know that what you have has come from God through His Holy Spirit. Let's praise Him, serve Him. Amen. Father in heaven, use this word and the power of Thy Spirit to humble us, to make us confess every day that we are nothing apart from Thy grace and the gift of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Grant that we may receive the gifts that Thou hast given us with the right spiritual attitude to seek Thy glory, to serve Thy church. And grant that we may appreciate and encourage the gifts of the Spirit that we see working in others in the congregation. And Lord, grant that we may know that all of the members and all of their different gifts are needed and important, that we may never be jealous of others or insulting to others. And grant that we may continue on in the service of Jesus Christ and His church. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.